This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Why pay more for a separate CoQ10 supplement? Enjoy twice the benefits with SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced. From the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended beet brand for heart health support, the new SuperBeats Heart Chews Advanced by Human is now infused with CoQ10. That's essentially like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 ingredients support nitric oxide production, healthy blood pressure, healthy CoQ10 levels, and heart-healthy energy with two tasty chews a day. Plus, SuperBeats Heart Chews Advance are plant-based, so you get heart-healthy energy without stimulants. For a limited time, get a free 30-day supply of SuperBeats Heart Chews on all bundles and 15% off your first order by going to RadioBeats.com and using promo code DEAL. That's RadioBeats.com, code DEAL.
Ladies and gentlemen, always a pleasure to be joined by White House Senior Advisor and Director of Public Engagement, former Columbia, South Carolina Mayor, Dr. Steve Benjamin. Mayor Benjamin, how are you, sir?
I'm blessed and highly favored, as we say, in my part of the world, and things are good. We got a lot of work to do, but things are good. An opportunity to make some change.
We were with the Vice President in Selma just last Sunday, and Thursday, March 7th, the President is giving his State of the Union on the actual anniversary of Bloody Sunday, 1965, March 7th. What can we expect from the State of the Union, Mayor Benjamin?
It is an auspicious occasion, 59th anniversary of Bloody Sunday, which seared in the brains of so many Americans, including so many who were not paying attention to the challenges of at that time, Black people in the American South, but representative of the struggles of people all across this country and across the world. So I would fully expect the President to lean in to the historic occasion and helping people understand how far we've come, but also how far we have to go. There'll be an opportunity, certainly, to recognize the significant achievements that we made in terms of everything from closing the racial wealth gap to amazing economic achievements, nearly 15 million jobs, some of the things he's been able to do around the issues of everything from keeping unemployment low under 4% for over 2 years running, and certainly forgiving student debt, which we know also disproportionately impacts the Black community to the tune of $138 billion total. How he's going to talk about the importance of HBCUs and his commitment, the Vice President's commitment in that space as well. But he's going to talk about the successes of four pillars that would have been his Investing in the American agenda. Certainly the American Rescue Plan's successes in getting us past the darkest point of maybe the last 100 years with greatest pandemic since 1918, greatest economic disruption since 1929, and probably the greatest social unrest since the murder of George Floyd since 1968, all wrapped up into one. The successes of the bipartisan infrastructure law, now investing in nearly 50,000 communities, long neglected investments in infrastructure, including removing every lead pipe in America. If you think about that, by 2030, how many children have been poisoned over so many years? It's going to talk about the most significant investment in clean energy and climate reduction in the history of the world through the Inflation Reduction Act, and how his policies have led to unsnarling supply chains to make sure that the simple things that we took for granted pre-pandemic, like semiconductor chips and the investment in the chips bill. Again, record amounts of investment in American manufacturing, clearly nearly a million jobs created in that space alone here domestically, high-paying jobs for everyone who didn't require a college education. People have a chance to move into the middle class, and we've all heard the President say nonstop, no, this is about building the economy from the middle out, the bottom up, making sure that people who aren't doing too great can do a whole lot better, making sure we grow the middle class. And we do that, even those of us who are who've done really well financially do well too. He's going to talk a lot about tax fairness and ways in which everyone has to carry their fair share. The President comes from a working class family. He's very clear that defines who he is as a person that's informed his worldview and what we like to call Bidenomics. And there's no reason why some of the largest corporations in the world pay no federal income tax, but working families do every single day. He's going to talk about his successes around the really, really critical issue of healthcare and making sure we all have access to not only quality healthcare, but the drugs that we need to stay alive. I hosted a call just a few weeks ago, and there's a woman who'd been teaching for 36, 38 years. And she talked about the medicine that she needed to make sure that she stayed alive, how it's cheaper for her to fly from her home to Paris and buy the drugs and bring them back here domestically than to get them here in the U.S. And so he's going to talk about the successes, probably most symbolically represented with insulin. People were paying $400. Mr. Clyburn would say Ms. Emily paying $800 a month. And now seniors on Medicare paying $35, and how through his leadership, he's pushed companies to negotiate their drug prices with the U.S. government to try and drive down costs for critical drugs for every single family in this country. So we're going to take some victory laps, but I think more importantly, he's going to talk about the successes of the administration. More importantly, he's going to talk about the future, his vision for the future, what it means to be America at this really critical juncture in world history of the wars that are being fought abroad, both between Israel and Hamas, as well as Putin's march across Ukraine, and what that means in terms of a true historical context. So we got a lot to say grace over. State of the Union has never been known for their brevity because of the gravity of what's going to be talked about. So I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say tomorrow.
And speaking of that, so this is March 7th. I would expect he's also going to say something about the John Lewis Act that was never passed and is still on the table. I assume he's going to talk about voting rights.
I'm not sure that you can step in that incredible chamber that, thank God, we had the service of John Lewis for decades upon decades, and the sacrifice that he and so many others who crossed Edmund Pettus Bridge, whose names we might not know, the sacrifice they made and not indeed lean in on not only the sacrosanct right to vote, but also the freedom to vote without obstruction. I'm fairly confident that will certainly be something the boss talks about.
Women's bodily autonomy, codifying Roe, somehow bringing it back. Will that also, I'm sure it will be a topic on the agenda.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, man, the vice president has been working with the president and others in the administration, really getting around the entire country, even before this crazy ruling in Alabama on IVF, really talking about a true fight for our freedoms and what control of three chambers that make up the three estates of our government, what it really means for people and how their ability to cast their ballots freely, to protect at very least body autonomy to make healthcare decisions for women, that we're at a point now where things that my mother, my wife, I have two teenage girls, things they never ever would have thought about, decisions that they would have to make, are literally being litigated and freedoms taken away from them almost weekly now. We're living in a period of time that harkens back 60 years, and it's very real. So I know that's top of mind for him, and certainly will be not only articulated in the speech, but over the next several months. It is one of the critical issues of our time.
And lastly, obviously, the vice president made some very strong, probably some of the strongest remarks yet with regard to the crisis in Gaza while we were in Selma Sunday. You mentioned that obviously the president will address the ongoing conflict in addition to Ukraine, but can we expect something also unprecedented from him in terms of his remarks to Gaza? And frankly, Mayor, with all the great accomplishments we know this president has made and as much as those are needed, this conflict is still overshadowing some of those accomplishments. So can we expect him to say something at the State of the Union about Gaza that we've not heard before, what the vice president did on Sunday?
Yeah, sure. And I didn't say word for word that in terms of policy, there's no daylight between the president and vice president on the issue. But I think being really clear and making sure that his words marry up with the incredible work that I know he has been doing every day. There's really a day that goes by where we don't get some type of a briefing that really shows exactly how hard he's been working to ensure not only peace and humanitarian aid, but also the long-term view on a two-state solution. So I'd be surprised if there was not some really thoughtful policy prescriptions maybe discussed in the space tomorrow too. And the vice president did a wonderful job, and I think in capturing the spirits of a whole lot of folks and the thoughts of a lot of folks. But I will tell you that the president, vice president, his entire team have been working diligently to try and make sure that the way in which we interact in the Middle East reflects our values as a country. And I'd be surprised again if the president leaned in fairly hard there.
Man, Steve Benjamin, Director of the Office of Public Engagement at the White House, also failed to mention some of the original foot soldiers from Bloody Sunday are going to be recognized during the State of the Union, I understand as well. So again, that's very historic. Mayor Benjamin, thank you, sir. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, brother. Always good seeing you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
State of the Union address, joining us now to give us a preview of what we may hear from President Biden is none other than our friend, the Director of the Office of Intergovernmental Affairs, Tom Perez. Tom, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. It's always great to be with you and your listeners.
Yes, sir, and glad to have you. What can we expect? What are some of the areas, from your point of view, you expect the president to highlight during his State of the Union?
I think he's going to talk about freedom, democracy, and the economy. He's going to talk about where we were, where we've come, and where we need to go. You remember back in 2021, when he took office, we were a couple weeks removed from a horrific insurrection. We were in the throes of a pandemic. So many lives lost, so many jobs lost, so much hope lost. And you look at where we have come. Our unemployment rate has been under 4% now for 2 years running. That's the longest streak in 50 years. When you and I talked about jobs numbers reports when I was labor secretary, boy, I never told you that the unemployment rate was 3.7%. It was often almost double that. Now you look at the Black unemployment rate at or near historic lows. I think it's 5.2, 5.3% now. And you know, it was over 9% when the president took office. You look at the number of people enrolled in Obamacare, went up from 13 million to 21 million. You look at the investments in infrastructure across the country, putting people to work in good middle-class jobs. And one of the things that is animating what the president is doing, and he embodied this in an executive order he issued day one, was equity, making sure that dollars don't just flow to Wall Street, but dollars flow to Main Street, to everybody who ought to be able to get a fair shake, and to make sure that we use these unprecedented investments to address some historic wrongs. There's an initiative, Mark, that is one of my favorite initiatives called Reconnecting Communities. I grew up in Buffalo, New York, and when I was a kid, there was a Kensington Expressway. It was a highway that was put in to connect, frankly, the mostly white residents of the suburbs to downtown Buffalo so they could get to work quicker. And not surprisingly, guess where that highway went right through? Went through East Buffalo, which was the heart of the Black community. Under the Reconnecting Community Initiative, we are correcting that historic inequity. And the Buffalo example I give you is the tip of the iceberg. So making these investments is critical. We're working hard to lower costs. Inflation was 9% a year ago, and it's 3% now. Still got to get down further, especially in the food context, because a lot of price gouging still going on in the food industry. You look at healthcare, and if you've got a diabetic relative over 65, they're paying $35 a month, thanks to Joe Biden. That's a big deal. And for the first time, Medicare can negotiate with pharmaceutical companies to bring down the cost. We took on the pharmaceutical industry and we won without even one Republican support. So you know, this is what it's all about. The future is about continuing to finish the job. There's so much unfinished business. We still have to make sure that we are continuing to provide good opportunities for jobs, good opportunities for education for our youngsters. Our democracy, we still have people who deny that Joe Biden won the election. And so when I talk about freedom, democracy, and the economy, we've got to make sure we're preserving our democratic principles. You and I have talked about this before. The Supreme Court decision back in 2013, which eviscerated the Voting Rights Act, has been open season in a number of states to gut the right to vote. And we're going to make sure we work our level best to ensure that every eligible person, Republican, Democrat, or independent, can cast their vote. They have multiple options on how to do it, and that every lawfully cast vote is counted. That's what it's about. That's what democracy is about. And frankly, the differences are pretty stark. We have a president who's protecting a woman's right to choose, and you have in his opponent someone who brags about doing away with Roe v. Wade. And talk to folks who are struggling and trying to have kids, and now the government's getting in the way and telling them, no, you can't do IVF because we're going to tell you how you can do it. That's just not who we are. And so the president's going to fight for freedom, the freedom to make those choices for women and families, the freedom to control your body, the freedom to vote and not be intimidated. That's what this is about. The stakes are pretty high.
And not only that, not only his opponent, but you've got an incumbent Congress who wants to pass legislation to completely outlaw women's bodily autonomy, and also will not pass the John Lewis Act. As significant is it not, too, Tom, that the president has chosen to give this address on the actual anniversary? We were with the vice president in Selma Sunday. This is actually March 7th, the anniversary of Bloody Sunday in Selma. Several foot soldiers will be in the gallery to be recognized. So that's a pretty significant milestone itself. And for him to give the State of the Union at the time of this milestone is also important.
Absolutely. And again, just to remind your listeners and viewers, you know, Joe Biden ran because he talked about how this was the battle for the soul of our nation. What really motivated him to get in was the aftermath of Charlottesville and the realization that we were at a real inflection point. Now, this is an election, I have no doubt, the ramifications of which will be felt for decades to come. Now, do voters want a president who is going to curtail a woman's right to choose? Do they want someone who will protect and enshrine Roe v. Wade? It's a contrast between a candidate who is trying to expand access to health care and has done that as both vice president and has successfully taken on the pharmaceutical industry versus one who has no interest in taking on the pharmaceutical industry and wants to repeal Obamacare. It's a choice between a president who has, again, denied who won the election 4 years ago, a candidate who has continued to deny that, and a president who understands that that election was totally fair and square. A president, it's in my last observation, it's a contrast between our President Biden, who will confront Putin and confront autocrats, versus a candidate who's quite literally said, do whatever the hell you want, Mr. Putin. Wow. Ronald Reagan must be turning over in his grave.
Indeed. Lastly, Director Perez, the vice president chose the occasion of Selma and the Edmund Pettus Bridge to make some of the strongest declarative remarks with regards to what's going on in Gaza. Shall we presume during the State of the Union, the president may also address it strongly himself, especially in light of the fact with all the accomplishments you named, unfortunately, sometimes in the news media and in the hearts and minds of some, those accomplishments are overshadowed by what's going on in Gaza. Can we expect him to make some very strong statements during the state on that subject?
The president has been making strong statements from the outset on this subject. What happened on October 7th was unconscionable. And the president and so many others called out Hamas for the atrocity that they committed. In the ensuing months, we've been working hard to make sure we can forge an enduring peace. The president and the vice president have called for a ceasefire. We have been working tirelessly, as the president has pointed out, to bring that about. To state the obvious, it hasn't been easy, but we are continuing tirelessly to work on that. You saw now that there are airdrops of humanitarian supplies into Gaza. That's a really important development. And the president will continue to do his level best to forge not just a ceasefire, but a ceasefire that can help lead to an enduring peace, which must include a two-state solution. And the president has been very clear on that early on, and he's working regionally. And he has some real gravitas in the region because he's been working on these issues quite literally for decades.
Tom Perez, folks, Director of the Office of Intergovernmental Affairs, giving us a preview of the State of the Union address we're expecting from President Biden. Tom, thanks as always, man.
Good to be with you, my friend.
All right, take care.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.